In Him who loved us and freed us from our sins by His own blood, Jesus the Christ, the fellow redeemed. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and through the blood of that Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon text is the epistle lesson. And if you were to look right near the sermon, you could see it's from 11 to 14. But I had Karen print the whole of chapter 5 because it's very difficult to understand 11 through 14 unless we look at the rest of the chapter as well. So we're going to read chapter 5 of Revelation 15 right now. And I saw a scroll in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, with writing on the front and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll by breaking its seals?" No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep bitterly, because no one who was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed and is able to open the scroll with its seven seals." And I saw a lamb standing in the center near the throne, surrounded by the four living creatures and the 24 elders. The lamb seemed to have been slain, and he had seven horns and seven eyes. These are the seven spirits of God that have been sent into all the world. The lamb came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when the Lamb took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders bowed down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and gold bowls full of incense. These are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and you bought us for God with your blood, out of every tribe, language, people, and nation. You made them to be a kingdom and priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth." And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels who were around the throne and around the living creatures and the elders. Their number was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands upon thousands. With a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I also heard every creature that is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders bowed down and worshipped. So today I'm going to begin by explaining some of the symbolism in this section of Revelation, and then we'll finish the sermon with applying that symbolism to our own earthly lives. So the first vision that we see here in this text is God seated on the throne, and in his right hand is a scroll. We're told that that scroll has writing on both the front and the back, and it's sealed with seven seals. First of all, the seals. The seals were used to prevent someone from opening or reading the scroll that wasn't authorized to do so. And we've actually, scrolls have been found with seals on them that date to about 100 AD. So this was a known image for John to write about. And a seal was a known thing. Normally it was wax with a ring or a stamp of some type in it. But one of the scrolls that was found was sealed with threads. There were threads, one for each witness to whatever the scroll contained. So they're sealed. And no one who is unauthorized can break those seals and open it. Now we're told that when the scroll was seen and one worthy to open it was sought, no one was found in heaven or on earth or under the earth. No one was found that had the authority to be able to break those seals and reveal what is written. John had been told that he was going to be shown things about the future. And it's very likely that the scroll contains the future, and especially the future of God's church. In fact, you can look at Revelation from this point all the way through to chapter 22. And you can see it in such a way that everything that is revealed is what's on this scroll. If we were to read forward from here, we'll see that the seals are opened. And the seventh seal becomes the vision of the seven trumpets. And then the seventh trumpet becomes the vision of the seven bowls. Everything is tied to this scroll. And so when no one was found, John began to weep. Because the future of the church was unknown and uncertain. So search in heaven, earth, under the earth, no one could open the scroll. Finally, an elder came to John and said, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed and is able to open the scroll." The elder used an image that is very common in the Old Testament for the Messiah. When Jacob blessed his children, when he blessed Judah, he called Judah a lion's cub and said the scepter would not pass from Judah's hand until he comes to whom it belongs. That was a messianic prophecy, a prophecy of the Savior, that he would be born of Judah's line, and he would be a lion. The elder also called him the root of David. David was of the tribe of Judah. And it was prophesied that the Messiah would come from Jesse's, David's father's, stump. And so when it calls Jesus the root of David, it's referring to that messianic prophecy. Now David was the line of kings. And we can see why this image of a lion and a king would go hand in hand together. And this great king, this great lion of the tribe of Judah, has triumphed. He has won the victory, and therefore he has authority to open the scroll. But then something unexpected happened. When John's attention is drawn again to the center of his vision around the throne, he didn't see a lion. He saw a lamb. This too is an Old Testament image of the Messiah. Even though for our minds it seems like such a great contrast, a lion and a lamb, We would think those two things are polar opposites of the animal kingdom. And they are. But those polar opposites meet their fulfillment in the person of Jesus. Because He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, and as John called Him, John the Baptist, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, John noted something special about this Lamb. He said it seemed to have been slain. We don't know what about its appearance caused John to conclude that. But when he saw the Lamb, he recognized that Lamb had been killed. And yet the Lamb is alive. Last week when we were looking at the first chapter, we identified Jesus as the one who had been dead, but was alive again and is now the living one. This Lamb before the throne who had been slain is Jesus, the living one. Then the Lamb did something that we probably only see in movies today. It went and took the scroll out of the right hand of Him sitting on the throne. How does a lamb grab a scroll? Well, this is a vision. Okay? We can't expect everything in this vision to conform to our earthly lives, and we shouldn't be surprised when there are things that we wrestle with understanding. But the Lamb had the authority to approach God the Father and take the scroll out of His hand. Now there's another aspect to the authority of breaking the seals. It's not only identification. I'm the one that this seal, or who can break this seal. And it's not only I'm the one that can read what is written on this scroll. It is also intimately connected with authority to carry out what the scroll says. One of the scrolls that has been found was actually a will and testament, last will and testament. Okay. And to break the seal on that scroll was then to have authority to carry out what the scroll says. So Jesus could approach God the Father and take the scroll, break the seals, and carry out what it says. Because as the elders and the four living creatures declared, He bought us with His own blood. And the four living creatures declared, He made them a kingdom and priests, and they will reign on earth. Jesus taking the scroll and breaking the seals is not just revealing the future. It is a claim to the authority to carry out what the scroll has said. God's will for His church and for the earth, for all people, was written on that scroll. You'll notice it says it was written front and back. That's unusual. You wrote on one side of the scroll. But here we see in that vision that all the details of human history from that point on were crammed on that scroll. And now Jesus had secured the future of the church and the history of the world as God wanted it to be through His life, death, and resurrection. And that's why when the Lamb took the scroll, the angels understood what it meant. They understood that it meant that God's plan for the salvation of mankind was now secure. It was in the hands of the Lamb that was slain, but is the living one. And so they rejoiced. They praised Him. They bowed down and worshipped Him in song. Because mankind's future was now secure. So that's the imagery, the symbolism, or at least a good part of it. How do we take this vision of John and apply it for our lives today, about 1900 years after John saw this vision? Well, have you ever been worried about the future? I know for me as a parent, I worry about what my kids will see. Maybe you as a preschool parent worry about the world that your child is going to grow up in. You're concerned about what the future generations are going to have to deal with. I know that my kids are dealing with things today that I never had to deal with at their age. And we can look at the world around us and we can be so uncertain about what the future holds for us and for our children. But that really is a weakness and a lack of faith. What comfort we should have that the scroll is in the hand of the Lamb. He will oversee our future and the future of our children and their children's children according to His will. He will reign in heaven and earth for the good of His church. So what should I fear? Now, maybe you're sitting there wondering, well, how do I know that God's plan is a good plan for me? How do I know that God's plan is a good plan for my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren? How do I know that God's plan is a good plan for humanity? Well, just think about who took the scroll. It was in the hands of the Father. He could have opened that scroll and revealed it, but what comfort would have that been for us? The righteous Father in heaven pronouncing His judgment? No, but God, the triune God, deliberately had the Lamb take the scroll. Because it reveals the heart of God, and it reveals the heart of His purpose and will for humanity. That God the Son took on human flesh, suffered and died so that our sins could be paid for, and God raised Him from the dead so that we could know it is true. We now have every confidence that God's plan for us, God's plan for our children, and our grandchildren, and for all of humanity, is a good plan. Because He was willing to suffer and die for us, as sinful creatures. So should I then have worry and concern about the future? No. I should trust the Lamb and leave my future in His gracious hands. But there's another very personal aspect about that scroll, and it's that your name is on it. You may think about that scroll with all of the events of human history there. For the 2,000 past years and however long God lets this earth go on. But don't view it so distantly. Because on that scroll is all the details of your life. Everything that God is doing and has done and will do to secure your future. We don't have a transcendent God who's up in heaven and cares little about the world below. We have a God who cares intimately about the details of our personal lives. We have a God who has descended and become one of us, and lived our earthly life, and died the death that our sins deserve, and is now ascended into heaven. But He reigns all things with that scroll in His hand to carry out His will for you and for me. Your name is on that scroll. Jesus loves you. And He bought you with His own blood. One of the things that we do to secure our children's spiritual security is we teach them songs. Teach them songs about Jesus. How many of us haven't taught our kids, "Jesus loves me, this I know"? And we love to hear them sing it. But when we get old, does that song become too childish for us? Does it lose its power? No, your name is on the scroll. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's what we want handed down to our kids, generation after generation, so that they can know that their names are on the scroll too. Jesus shed His blood to buy them for God also. So there's one response that we can have. Bow down and worship Him. Throw our crowns at His feet and praise Him who loved us so. Because worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.